T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. We continue with our SEC and ACC preview series. Here's what I do, guys. You know, I put pressure on myself every day, right? I'm like, we got to get a representative from every team in the SEC. All well and good, and not too difficult, because even if you don't, like, let's say I don't know somebody directly that covers Mississippi State, I know somebody who knows somebody who covers Mississippi State, right? But then you get to, like, the Vanderbilts of the world, and it gets really difficult. So I went 14 for 14 on the SEC, and then this is now team number 3 on the ACC, and what I do is I look at the teams, and I'm like, do I know anybody that covers any of these teams? And so with this one, one name immediately jumped to my mind because he's a graduate of the school. He's a frequent contributor to this show, almost always on the Carolina Panthers. He's on the midday show at WFNZ in Charlotte. Josh Parcell joins the show for our Virginia Tech preview today. As an aside, Josh, did you by chance splurge on UFC over the weekend?
You know what? I didn't. I was talking to a buddy about that yesterday. I'm annoyed because you pay $5 a month or whatever it is for ESPN Plus, which you think gives you access to everything, right? No, you have to pay $5 a month for ESPN Plus, and then you still have to pay the 60 plus some dollars for the fight. So, no, I did not pay for the fight. I've thought about a couple pulling the trigger on a couple fights in the past, but I didn't do it for this one.
Well, let me tell you, first things first, I hate those monthly recurring charges. We get signed up for so many of those, and then you wonder why there's no money in the account, right? I mean, like, right. And so I was like, okay, I'm not happy after a couple months with ESPN Plus. I switched to Amazon Music. I've never been happier with that decision, right? But then I'll tell you, I did splurge for this one, Josh, and I was miserable. I was miserable because I wanted a Castaway island viewing experience. That's what I thought I was getting, and I got fights in a closet. Like I always, it just looked like every other UFC fight. Yeah. And we had been sold Fight Island. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, come on, man. Give me Fight Island, man. Take me to the island. Take me there. Didn't get it. Anyway.
I know. There should have been like jungle music playing in the background, some steel drums. They really missed their opportunity.
Yes, they really, or you know how like Monday Night Football, they show different highlights of the city coming in and out of every break? Like, show us, bring me there. You know, I always say to people like Mark, you know, people will say, Mark, how should I do this show? I'm on location at this place. I always say, bring the audience there. Take them there, right? I felt like I was brought to a closet on Saturday night. Really, really annoyed. But anyway, we're here to talk Virginia Tech with you today. And I find this fascinating, Josh. Do you realize that of all the teams in the ACC, that ESPN's FPI says that Virginia Tech is the second best? Are you buying or selling that? ESPN's FPI says Virginia Tech is the 17th best team in the country heading into this season, which would be a significant upgrade over recent mediocre performance.
I buy it. I do. You have to separate Virginia Tech from last season kind of into two distinctly different seasons, the pre-Hendon Hooker era and the post-Hendon Hooker era, because once Hendon Hooker took over, I mean, they were a completely different team. I mean, after they lost to Duke last season at home on a Friday night, it felt like the sky was falling in Blacksburg. I've been at probably 150 Virginia Tech games in my life. I have never seen a more despondent crowd than I did that night at Lane Stadium. It was absolutely miserable, and they lost by, I don't remember, 28, 30 points, something like that. And it felt like the season was a lost cause. And then they enter Hendon Hooker into the starting lineup. They go on, they beat Miami the next week, and they actually averaged 36 points a game after Hooker took over as starter. They beat North Carolina. They had a couple big wins. They played UVA close at the end of the season with a couple guys injured in the secondary, or else maybe they win the Coastal. So I do think that this is a team that's probably underrated going into this season. I don't think that they're anywhere close to Clemson or anything like that. But if I was ranking my teams in the Coastal, I would have Virginia Tech number one.
Wow. I mean, that is really, really saying something, man, which would mean they're taking a big step up. So all of that leads to the feeling of pressure on Justin Fuente. I've said this on the show, Josh. I think there's a difference between hot seat pressure and just general pressure. Dan Mullen at Florida isn't under any pressure in terms of losing his job. But I'll tell you what, Josh, he better beat Georgia this year, or the natives are going to be restless because they've lost to Georgia way too many times in a row. Much of the feel-good that he's established at Florida will go out the window if they can't get by Georgia this year. I think Will Muschamp's on a save-his-job kind of pressure. I think other coaches are on a very different kind of pressure. I know Justin Fuente's under pressure, but I don't know if it's hot seat pressure or just general we're unhappy with the direction of the program pressure. How would you describe it?
I think you're spot on with all of that. And with Fuente, he's verging on the brink of hot seat pressure. If Virginia Tech doesn't have the kind of money and the backing to be able to pay, you know, $15 million of buyout money to a coach like some other schools in the SEC are able to do. So I have a feeling that that is going to keep Fuente around, save for a 3-9 season, something where it just becomes an absolute disaster, which I don't see happening. So I would be surprised if Justin Fuente lost his job after this season, even if they had a disappointing year. But make no mistake about it, Mark, you're right. There's a lot of pressure on Fuente to turn this thing around. I mean, he got off to a great start, made the ACC championship game in year one. They set all sorts of offensive records. It felt like they had finally moved into the 21st century on offense with Fuente. And then, you know, a litany of reasons can explain why they've struggled ever since. You know, a 9-win season the following year after their quarterback, Jerod Evans, leaves to go pro. He goes undrafted. That totally changed the course of the following year. And then there was just a bunch of reasons for the following years where they, you know, have a losing record and so on and so forth. So Virginia Tech fans are itching to get back to where they were under Frank Beamer. And they're never going to win 10 games 7 years in a row again like they did when Beamer was here. But I think it's reasonable for Virginia Tech, especially in this division, where there is no clear-cut perennial contender in the division. Virginia Tech should win 9 games most years. They should be going 5-3 minimum in the Coastal, and that hasn't happened for a while. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Justin Fuente to at least get back to that. And without a non-conference schedule, I guess 9 wins is a weird number now, but they need to go 5-3 in the conference minimum, I think, this season for him to feel good.
Well, speaking to that and continuing to look at ESPN's FPI here, I don't like that they took away completely the number for Penn State, because I'm sure Virginia Tech would have been an underdog in that game. But percent chance to win, 10 of 11 games on the schedule right now, Josh, the Hokies are favored to win. You know, even at North Carolina, they say 53% chance the Hokies win. So that's a plus. The only game of the 11 that remain that they're an underdog in is at Louisville. So, I mean, that would seem to paint the picture of a schedule that could offer a very special outcome this year, does it not?
It does. It absolutely does. And I wish Virginia Tech was welcoming Penn State into Blacksburg as much as anyone, but it does make the schedule look a lot less severe when you don't have to take on what should have been a top five, certainly a top 10 team in Penn State. I think this team can win most of its games. You know, that North Carolina game, it's funny. I mean, I think North Carolina could have a heck of a year. I'm fully prepared for UNC to improve on what they did last season. But I think people forget that North Carolina lost in six overtimes to Virginia Tech last year in a game in which Hendon Hooker didn't play in the second half. And Virginia Tech essentially went to a single wing offense with a quarterback that couldn't throw the ball, and they won. So Virginia Tech and North Carolina are on even footing, if not Virginia Tech a little bit ahead with what they bring back on both sides. I know North Carolina brings back a lot offensively, but defensively I think Virginia Tech is a step or two ahead of the Tar Heels right now. So I think Virginia Tech is better for now. Don't get me wrong, North Carolina is going to be better in a year or two the way they're recruiting. But I think going into 2020, yeah, I see Virginia Tech in that schedule. North Carolina is a test. Louisville, of course, as you mentioned, is a test. Having to go there, I think that's easily the trickiest game on their schedule. And then they do get Miami at home. But I think Virginia Tech, assuming they played 11 games, which who the heck knows. But if they played those 11, I would think that that's a 9-2, 10-1 football team.
You know, it's interesting, Josh, something you don't know about me. Some years ago, I almost took a job at a sports radio station in Blacksburg that was the flagship for Virginia Tech football. And I'll be totally honest with you. They told me at one point I was the favorite. Then they ended up going with a different person. I don't know if I would have taken the position if they offered it. The pay was, as you know, in our business, sometimes smaller markets can be a little low. Plus the cold of the area and just not knowing the area. I didn't know if I would meet people there, so on and so forth. But I say that, Josh, to say this. Is the ceiling for Virginia Tech a national championship? Can you win a national championship there? Is anything holding them back? Is anything restricting their potential there?
I do think Virginia Tech can win a national championship, but it's not a ceiling like a Clemson or an Alabama or anything like that. I look at Virginia Tech very similar to the way I look at a program like Wisconsin or Michigan State. And I think with the right year, with the right quarterback, you get lucky. I think those types of programs, Oklahoma State's kind of in that same boat. I think those teams can win a national championship. I don't think they'll ever be perennial contenders just because you've got to have a lot more money and support and resources to be able to keep up year after year with the blue bloods of college football. But we saw it was only 20 years ago Virginia Tech played in a national championship game and led going into the fourth quarter of that game with a transcendent generational quarterback in Michael Vick. So that's what it takes, right? I mean, if you have a guy like that, and there are players that come out of Virginia of that caliber every so often. I mean, Virginia Tech had one of them in Tyrod Taylor not that long ago, and there's plenty of others. The state of Virginia is loaded with talent. Virginia Tech is, by a few minutes, closer to Charlotte than Chapel Hill. You know, UNC, or rather Virginia Tech, can recruit the state of North Carolina. They've showed it in the past. You know, the D.C. area is rich with talent as well. So there's plenty of talent in the state. Virginia Tech just needs to do a better job of recruiting it. And I think that they could be a team that, you know, you catch the right breaks, it can win a national championship. But it's a long shot, but it is possible.
And you know what? I also think when you look at the state of the ACC, the programs that the league most desperately needs to rise up. You know, we always want to anoint people. And if you look at the preview magazines, Josh, North Carolina is the flavor of the month, right? Every single preview magazine, they're like 16, 17, 18, 19. And I'm like, based on what, man? Based on the recruiting class that's coming next year that may not see an on-field impact for 2 or 3 years? Based on you think Sam Howell's going to be better? Based on what exactly? I don't know, Josh. When I look at what the ACC needs, I think it needs its blue bloods to get back to blue blood performance ASAP, and I think the other blue bloods in that conference are Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech. You get those programs back to consistent top 15 level, nobody's talking about Clemson not playing anybody anymore.
You're exactly right. That is spot on. The ACC badly needs at least one of the Florida schools to be nationally relevant. And they had that for a while. I mean, when Jimbo Fisher had it rolling at Florida State, you had the Noles were the class of the conference, and Clemson was the upstart underdog trying to make a name for themselves. And once they did, there was only really a 1 or 2 year overlap where Clemson was a top 15 team, top 20 team, and Florida State was still a national contender as well. It really was right as Clemson was becoming a playoff threat was when Florida State, you know, really dropped off, and now Jimbo is gone. So I totally agree. The ACC needs those schools. They're the ones that have the history, the tradition, the resources to do it. I would keep my eye out on Louisville. I think Louisville has an opportunity with Scott Satterfield and that coaching staff to really make some noise in the next few years. They're quietly recruiting really well also. I think their class right now sits around 20. I don't keep up with recruiting day to day, but I know their class is flirting with a top 20 group, which is what you need to be able to compete in the ACC. I think Louisville could be that team, but I agree with you that Florida State and Miami need to be relevant. Manny Diaz has a ton of pressure on him this season. I know we're talking Virginia Tech here, but I think the X factor in the ACC is De'Arik King. If he can be a star at Miami, that could change the course of the entire season for the conference, and obviously for Miami. So they need those schools to be better. It's been a few years since those schools have really been, you know, truly legitimate top 20 caliber teams. And until they are again, Clemson's going to run away with this league, and that's not good for the ACC.
At all. All right, Josh, can we get, as we close each and every day, we ask this of our experts, who are three players we should watch out for this season here in 2020 for the Hokies?
Oh, good question. So I'll go with the easy one with Hooker, the quarterback. He just holds the keys to that team. I mean, they need Hendon Hooker to be what he was last season and honestly improve on what he was last season. He changed their offense in the second half of the year, and with a year under his belt as the starter, it's unfortunate they missed spring practice, but if they can hit the field this fall and he can improve in year two, that's big for them. I'll go with Rayshard Ashby, the middle linebacker. He is a force in the middle. They've got a great deep group of linebackers. I think Ashby is the best of the bunch. He's a potential Bednarik watch list guy. And then Caleb Farley is going to be a first-round draft pick, I would think, at cornerback, first- or second-round pick. He was the top-graded corner in the country last year. Virginia Tech has a long history of great defensive backs, whether it's, you know, going back to Brandon Flowers and Cam Chancellor and D'Angelo Hall and many, many others. Caleb Farley has a chance to put his name in that class of guys with another big year this season. So I'll look at those three guys. There's a ton of talent on this team that they bring back. They've been young for a couple of years, and now it feels like it's time for that all that experience as freshmen and sophomores to pay off. And I'm sure Justin Fuente is itching for there to be a college football season.
He's Josh Parcell. He's on our sister station in Charlotte, host of the Midday Show there, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day, does a fantastic job. And incidentally, his new program director, Terry Fox, is my former program director in Atlanta. Had a very positive experience with that, Josh. And, dude, congratulations on your engagement. That is wonderful news, man, wonderful news. You guys, just from afar, you guys seem like such a good fit in terms of your mutual interest, man. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that so much.
All right, you be well. Josh Parcell of WFNZ, sister station in Charlotte here moving forward. All right, we are absolutely jam-packed here on the show. You can be a part of it, 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the line. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan. Right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Monday edition of the show as we roll on, man. Having a great time with you always. Fun topics, always a fun discussion. So the NBA players, I laugh because, you know, I know with Lonzo's grouchy demeanor, this is going to be a fun topic. So I always laugh when we're entering this kind of zone.
I always love when you paint my character as something that it is not. I am the happiest person you've ever met.
Yeah, I've never in my life met somebody as sunny and rosy as you, sir. The NBA provided a list of messages that could be could be visible on the back of jerseys for the NBA. Okay. And so here were the choices. Now, my question is, which of these options would you have chosen? Okay, let's say you have to pick one. All right, here you go. Black Lives Matter, Say Their Names, Vote, I Can't Breathe, Justice, Peace, Equality, Freedom, Enough, Power to the People, Justice Now, Say Her Name, Si se puede, which means yes, we can. Liberation. See us, hear us, respect us, love us. Listen to us, stand up. I'm a man. Speak up. How many more? Group economics, education reform, and mentor. Now, Lonzo, you got to pick one of those for the back of your jersey. Lonzo, you got to pick one. Which one are you going?
This is easy. It's a very easy choice out of all the choices, and it's vote. We are a representative republic. If you're unhappy with how things are, then you need to put people in there who you think will represent you better. You get out and vote, and that happens. So vote is the obvious and only choice.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I think I might go with enough. I feel enough about a lot of things, honestly, Lonzo. I think enough is kind of all-encompassing, right? It all fits under the same umbrella. So I kind of like that one. But interestingly, LeBron James said none of these really spoke to him, and he's going with his name. Interesting that Black Lives Matter didn't speak to LeBron James to put on the back of his jersey, but LeBron's just going with his name. They gave you the option, if you want, just to go with your name. And LeBron seemed irritated that he wanted to be consulted about some of these names. He had some ideas. They didn't listen to him, so he said, "The hell with your ideas. I'm going with my own name."
I think you're trying to paint his character in a different light. Also, here's the thing: you know, LeBron, he doesn't have to have a message back there. He's active in trying to get change to happen. So if you're out there actively doing things, what does writing something on the back of your jersey do?
Yeah, Alonso, I'm not criticizing him. I'm just, that's exactly what happened. Like, he chose not to do that. He's choosing to go with his own name.
Are they going to resell these jerseys with different names on them and then use the money to go towards whatever it is that they're trying to change? Towards a voting awareness, towards, social things? Are they doing that, or what are they going to do with those jerseys?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But by the way, a texter has an idea for a name on the jersey, Lonzo. He says, "Mark, how about Dickie Longerbeam for the back of the jersey. Dickie, last name Longerbeam, first name Dickie. I'm just curious if Dickie has any relation to Hugh. Hugh is the name. Last name is Jazz. Mr. Hugh Jazz. Is there any relation there between the two of those guys? But a texter does want to know if they can put that name on the back of their jersey.
My apologies to people out there who are actually intelligent for the last 30 seconds.
Hey, listen, we read the texts that come into the show, so we've got to do it. I'm contractually obligated to do it.
It wouldn't shock me if you texted the text line yourself just so you could say that someone texted that.
Look at the text line, you jerk. Look at it. Look at what it says. It's all right there.
Listen, I don't need to look at the text line because I have too many other windows open, and I don't want to take a chance of this thing crashing.
The other thing that I want to get to here, what name would you guys choose of the choices I gave you, right? If you said, okay, I'm picking one of these names, what name for the back of the jersey are you chiming in on? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to get to us here on the show. So the other thing I want to get to is this, and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you're watching this and you're like, that's the best you got? This is the plan? I witnessed this over the weekend, and I was really kind of astonished, if I'm honest with you. So, you know, MLS is doing this MLS's back tournament, right? They're doing this MLS's back tournament, and, you know, it's interesting. That, you know, they're kind of the first ones, the NWSL, the first ones back and doing their sports. And then you're kind of wondering, okay, well, they're in the Disney bubble. The NBA's in the Disney bubble. What happens inevitably when there is a positive test? Russell Westbrook is in the bubble, tested positive, right? We just got this news today. So what happens? What are you going to do? And we have been asking this question for a couple months on this show. Okay, so what's the threshold here? If you have five cases, does your team not play? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what. This really surprised me. So a soccer team has 22 players on it, right? You have 11 starters, and you usually have 11 reserves, 22 players on the team. Then you have a coaching staff. But 22 players on the team, two teams, you have 44 players. Right? You have 44 players. So DC United had one player. They were set to play at 9 a.m. on ESPN on yesterday morning. DC United had one player that tested positive, and they canceled the whole game. They canceled the whole game. And I'm not saying I don't understand the why. I'm not saying I don't get it. But it's kind of like, okay, well, if you guys are just going to cancel the game for one positive, how is any of this going to work? You know, like, it's like that was the plan that we had this whole time, was to just go and pray we never have any tests, positive tests, when we know that's not going to be the case. Lonzo, we're just going to continue, you know, doing shows, and we're just going to pray that no one in the building tests positive. How realistic is that? How realistic is that? DC United and Toronto were set to play. DC had one player test positive, and they called the whole game off. And it's concerning to me, because if this is the precedent, if this is the protocol, there's no way any of this is going to work. You know, last week we played the clip from Buster Olney, who said there's a 20% chance that Major League Baseball season starts and a 0% chance they finish. Then we had on Bob Nightingale from USA Today Sports, who said, no, I don't agree with that. I'm much more optimistic than that. I think there's a 75% chance they get started and a pretty good chance that they finish their season. But Lonzo, I'll tell you, man, like, one positive test canceled a game completely. And then you're thinking about the NBA, how this would work, right? So let's say the Rockets are playing the Bucks, and let's say on the Bucks, Eric Bledsoe tests positive. then do you say, okay, well, we can't play the game because Eric was around Giannis, and Giannis was around Chris Middleton, and Chris Middleton was around Brooke Lopez, and we can, in good faith, put those players around Mike D'Antoni, who's 70 years old, around James Harden, around P.J. Tucker, around whoever's on the Rockets? I mean, is that really where we're at, where one positive test cancels every single game? I'm not even saying they're wrong, Lonzo. I'm just saying, why are we even doing this if that's all it takes to shut down a game?
See, and the hard part about this is if you call soccer soft, I mean, which would be the first thing that my go-to, but I can't do that in this. It's a pandemic. It's a serious situation. All these leagues would have to have discussed this before they started the season, wouldn't they? And I don't think the NBA will shut down if they have one player, and I don't believe for a second the NFL will shut down with one player testing positive.
Yeah, no, I don't think they would shut down, and I don't think it has anything to do with softness, but I'm concerned for what this means. I mean, we might be playing 100-year seasons here, you know, if every week, you know, how many positive tests are we going to have here? And then every time this happens, the game shut down. There's no way you could do that with college football on. So, I mean, you got 120 players on the Clemson roster. One guy tests positive, you give a call, sorry, North Carolina, we can't play you this week in the championship game.
You know, I agree with you as far as that goes, but they do have reserves. I mean, they have other players on the team. As far as the NFL goes, they just call up a practice squad guy. That's what I think they do.
But then you have the problem, Lonzo, with, okay, this player that tests positive has been around, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and he's been around – you know what I mean? Like, he's been around Travis Etienne. He's been around Amari Rodgers. And then you're going to put Amari Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, and Travis Etienne around the other team. It's such a tangled web, man. This is such a tangled web.
I just got to say, and I forget who it was, one of the guests that you had on last week talked about being positive and negative. You talk so much about why they shouldn't play, and you're kind of doing that again. And I want them to play. And
oh, so do I.
Yeah, it sounds like you're saying, why even bother? They should just shut the whole thing down.
Well, Lonzo, if they're going to shut things down after one positive test, why should they bother? That's fair.
I will say
that's exactly my point.
I will say that businesses, and that's what a lot of this is, like especially NFL and soccer and those, they're a business. Businesses find a way to continue. And I think the sports that are business. I'm not so sure about college, but as far as the pro leagues goes, they'll find a way, especially the American leagues, especially football, especially basketball. They will find a way to play.
You know, Zach Fain is tweeting in, and this is exactly what I'm looking for. This kind of announcement, right? Adam Silver has been saying, if we have a lot of positive tests, it could shut us down. Zach Fain is saying, I think in the NBA bubble and all of the other sports should shut down if the positive rate reaches 15%, since there are different amounts of people in every sport. Well, I mean, you need a number like that. You need a number like that. But, man, if we are just, like, honestly, I was surprised that after months of planning and training, one positive test cancels a game. I was really, really, really surprised by that, and it made me worried about what we're going to see for the remaining sports moving forward. I mean, I would have thought with all that time, there would have been, you know, some sort of protocol for that. All right, coming up next on the show, we do this each and every week on a Monday. Three controversial opinions about sports and about life, and I'll share them with you next. Right here on Offsides, we are ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Rolling on a Monday edition of the show. Okay, I want to tell you something we're going to do at 5:20 today. Okay, at 5:20. And I want you guys to get ready to call in because this is going to be fun. We'll give you special recognition. We will give you the chance to host a segment of this show if you want. If you don't want to host a segment of the show, no pressure whatsoever. But here's what we're doing. Lonzo and I, let's say this more accurately, Lonzo, put together some apologies in sports. Okay, so Lonzo has apologies in sports. The audio of those apologies ready to go, okay? So here's the thing. If you get 2 points, you win. And we're going to have three different apologies. We want you guys to call in 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. You need to call in before the 520 segment because once we get going, there's no stopping from there. We will play the apology. And we need you to tell us who is apologizing. And a bonus point if you can tell us what they're apologizing about or kind of the context clues surrounding that apology. Who is apologizing in sports and what really led to that apology? We have the audio. We will play it. Guess the apology in sports coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Okay? So you guys get ready to roll to call in at 5:20, and we will be ready to roll with you at 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. All right. It is time for three controversial opinions. Three controversial opinions. We do that each and every week. I have more than three, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me when I tell you this. I have way more than three. But I think to myself during the week, man, you're kind of against conventional norm on this, on this, on this. And so then we share them with you on a Monday at 4:40 each and every Monday. Here we go. Point number one, three controversial opinions. College football is moving to the fall. If you listen to the show, you know that I feel this way. I think at this point it kind of is what it is. I'm sorry, it's moving to the spring. It kind of is what it is at this point, and I think it is moving to the spring. I think college football will attempt to have a season in January, and I know that's controversial to a lot of people, but I just kind of think that's where we're at. I do think we'll have the NFL in the fall, and the NFL is with all unlimited resources, unlimited money. They're going to figure out how to get this done and how to do this. College football, the UABs, the SMUs, the Boise States of the world, the San Jose States, the Nevadas, they don't have the resources to do all this. They just don't. So I think all of this and the testing that will be required, college football will be moving to the spring. That's controversial opinion number one. Controversial opinion number two. Curvy is so much more attractive than skinny. I don't know what the deal is, folks. Skinny just doesn't do it for me. And I think it's the greatest crime against humanity. The greatest crime against humanity that women are told on magazines that that men want them to look a certain way. And look, folks, if there's not something to hold on to, I'm not interested. Okay, I'm not interested. It's really interesting. They're doing this thing now and they're asking men showing different body types and which do you find the most attractive? And, you know, you kind of have your skinnier types and then your more plus size women, right? And then you have the right in the middle. And I'm always more toward the plus side than I am more toward the skinny side. Every single time. Every single time. So, yeah, I'll say it, ladies and gentlemen. Skinny ain't attractive. It's just not attractive. It's not what I go for. It's not what I've ever gone for. And I'll tell you what, your family gets to know you over a period of years. You know, my sister texts me all the time, Mark, you know, I think you would love this girl. And it's always curvy, voluptuous, right? It's every single time because they know skinny is not attractive. It's not attractive. Stop telling women that that's what we want because it's not what we want, okay? Nobody's saying we want that at all right? Something to hold on to, curviness, plus size, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that. Absolutely, positively, nothing wrong with any of that. So, yeah, I'll say it. Skinny is not attractive. And then finally, third controversial opinion of the week. Cake sucks. I'm sorry. Cake. The dessert sucks. The band is good. I like the band. I want a short skirt and a long jacket. Yeah, I mean, I like the band. It's really good. But cake, when was the last time anybody said, looked at a cake and said, man, I have just got to have a piece of that cake. Oh, that wedding cake. Let me tell you, I must have a piece of that wedding cake. Cake is kind of, you know, the last choice among desserts, is it not? It's never as good as a pie. It's never as good as cobbler's. Sometimes they're dry. They always taste the same. Every cake tastes the same. Chocolate cake, all chocolate cakes taste the same. All vanilla cakes taste the same. Oh, red velvet cake. Carrot cake is probably the best cake. It's probably the best cake. But if you're just giving me a normal cake, cakes suck. They suck.
All right, I will not sit here and listen to you diss cake like you are. The other two things, throw those aside. This is the worst thing that you're saying, that cake is bad. German chocolate cake is amazing. It is heaven. Red velvet cake, also heaven. All kinds of. Have you ever had banana pudding cake? Oh, it's so good.
Would I do that when I can just have banana pudding? It's like the people that make pizza flavored potato chips, Lonzo. I'll just have a pizza.
Well, anything. I've tried to look back in my memory and think of bad cake that I've had, and I can't think of any. Because it's really hard to make bad cake unless you use sour milk. It's just, cake is so good, man. What is wrong with you?
It's not as good as any other desserts. It's not as good as cobbler. It's not as good as pie. It's not as good as chocolate chip cookies. It's not as good as ice cream sandwiches. It's not as good as any of those. Ever. It's never. And you
ice
guys,
cream sandwiches,
you guys
by the way,
right
by the way, I think that the wafer would be considered cake on an ice cream sandwich.
All you guys listening right now, ice cream sandwiches, dude, those were the best. Like neighborhood.
By the way, on vacation, we found some butternut ice cream sandwiches.
How were they?
Oh, so good.
See what I'm saying? Better than cake.
No.
And cake isn't portable either.
I didn't have to choose. If there was cake there and there was ice cream sandwich, I think it's a mood thing. I'm going to be good whichever way I go, but cake, you got more of it.
I'll tell you, Lonzo, let me tell you something, man. I have a cake story that I'll share with you. So I was getting a cake for a girlfriend, right? And I just wanted a simple message on it. And the message that I wanted on it was, because you're special, okay? Now you tell me if you would take this back or not. I pick up the cake. As I'm taking it to the register, I look at the cake. They put the wrong "you're" on there. It was supposed to be YOU'RE, because you are special, right? And they wrote, because YOUR special. And I'm just like, man, like, and I'm sitting there, and I'm standing in the line. And Lonzo, do you think I paid for the cake and left with it that way, or do you think I took it back to the bakery?
I think you took it back, but here's the question. How big was the cake? Was there enough room for the YOU'RE?
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah.
I mean, how special was she? Was this like a cupcake? I don't know.
She ended up not being that special, obviously, Lonzo. She ended up not being very special. Dumped me like a Hot Pocket. But I'll tell you what. It was big enough, the size of a bowl. And you could easily, you wrote because on top, you're in the middle, and special on the bottom. And they wrote the wrong "you're." So I'm sitting there, Lonzo, and I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, I can't bring my girlfriend this cake that has the wrong word on it. So I bring it back. And Lonzo, the cake designer, was mortified. She was mortified.
I think special was a poor choice, too, because special is one of those words that can mean a whole lot of things.
Yeah,
I've been told that I was special a lot.
You're very special, Lonzo. I also have been
in
told
exactly that,
that
tone.
I've been told that that healthy is also one of those buzzwords that you're not allowed to tell people, So anyway, they were unhappy. The lady was unhappy. They ended up redoing the cake, and I just was like, whatever, man. I'm so sorry that you don't know the right "you're." Is what it is. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan, and I feel like a very bad person right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Rolling on a Monday. Fantastic to be here with you guys. So this is funny. I was looking at this over the weekend. Somehow this player came to mind, and I'm just like, dear God, that is he and Lonzo were separated at birth. This player and Lonzo were separated at birth, man. And I don't know how I've worked with Lonzo. By the way, tomorrow will be 1.5 years for me on the air here in the market. Moved here on the 10th of January. So Friday was 1.5 years being here. Tomorrow is 1.5 years on the air here in the marketplace, right? And I don't know how I managed to be here for 1.5 years and not realize that Lonzo was separated from birth with one particular athlete. And you all know who the athlete is. You all know who this person is, all right? Guy or girl, I'll leave that up to you, but you all know who it is, okay? Lonzo and this person were separated at birth. Here's the thing. I want you to take a guess. I want you to take a guess. I saw this person yesterday, and it just...
This is so messed up, man. That's fine, though.
What are you talking about? Why is it messed up? What's messed up about it? This is, Lonzo, this is your alter ego. This is absolutely your alter ego. So I ask you guys right now, listening, to jog your mind, okay, and think of what athletes might just look exactly like Lonzo, okay? You know those flowing locks? What athlete looks exactly like him? We'll take your thoughts. We'll take your guesses. Text them into us at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. That plus the top five at five is next here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.